What's up, everybody? This veteran shout-out is brought to you by Operation HHA USA. Check them out at HHAUSA.org. Their mission is to show appreciation and create a sense of community for veterans and active military through archery and the outdoors.
How can you not love that?
I mean, just great. Everything's great.
That is great.
This was submitted by Nate Rabbit, and the veteran is Cody Vaughn. He's in the Marine Corps. It says, Cody did 4 years in the Marine Corps, did 2 deployments. I served with him on his 2nd deployment, still my best friend to this day since we parted ways, and he flies up to Massachusetts from Kentucky to spend time with me in the deer woods. One of the best dudes I know. And by the way, it's Marine Corps, not corpse, like a dead body.
I wonder why you always said
that.
I just
spit up whiskey.
Thanks for the body bag there.
You work for the military.
I was going to say something, but I was like, am I wrong?
I'm just an idiot, so.
Dipshit.
But
you work
thank you for your service.
Doug.
Yeah. Thank you for your service, Cody. And now thanks for sending that, Nate.
Thanks, Cody.
I'll try correcting that.
Thank you both for the service, actually.
Yeah, appreciate you guys.
Yeah, just listen for the next one. It's going to be just the opposite of the two.
That's actually pretty awesome. I don't know if they coordinated that.
Were they both in the Marine Corps?
Should I do that one back to back? Like, do it now?
Give them both, yeah.
All right.
We'll send it into HHA USA, right?
All right. This one was submitted by Cody Vaughn, and the veteran is Nate Rabbit. Says, served 4 years in the Marine Corps. Fucking A.
You're an idiot.
Dude, just the way it's written down. Served with him on my 2nd deployment. Best friend of this day. Couldn't ask for a better guy. Great brother, father, husband. I hate flying and flew to Boston just to see him after 3 years apart. Stellar Marine and friend.
Very cool.
Boston.
Thanks for spending that, you guys. And both, thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, fellas. That's a level of brotherhood. Hey. I'll probably never understand.
Cheers.
Yeah, cheers to them, guys.
Let's do it.
We got whiskeys in here. Yeah, get me. Reach me.
Hey, right. I can't reach.
All right. Oh, here,
cheers to the Marine Corps.
Over the expensive equipment. There we go. Yeah, appreciate you guys. Thanks for your service. I've kind of been digging. I don't know if the listeners have been digging us starting right off the rip with a veteran shout out. I think it's just kind of cool to do it that way and a little bit of a change of pace here.
I think it's important to do it that way.
Yeah, why not? It shows that we're up front with it, and we do appreciate our veterans and our active military. And
absolutely.
Pretty awesome, because without you guys, we wouldn't be able to talk shit on a hunting podcast like we do each week.
Exactly.
So, we's appreciates you.
We loves you.
And that's what we appreciates about you.
Is that all you appreciate about me?
Well.
Thank you for being here. Thanks, everyone, for your service. If you serve in the military, submit a veteran shout-out, workingclassbowhunter.com. Hit the contact tab. There's a veteran shout-out button there. Click it. Fill it out. Help Doug with his Hooked on Phoenix.
Phoenix.
And
can't help me.
Marine Corps. Sorry.
Corps.
Corps. All right. Thank you. Hey, guys. Welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. The podcast is presented by Elite Archery. We've been shooting Elite for a long time. Proudly made in America. If that matters to you, it should.
USA.
We challenge you to take the shootability challenge with Elite. Go to a local dealer, find a dealer that carries Elite, and just give one a try. You might love it. We love them. And
that's all we ask.
We think you'd enjoy it, too. So check out EliteArchery.com. Use code WCB there. Pretty easy. The podcast is also brought to you by Big Tine. And Big Tine, if you live in a state that offers supplemental feed, they have that, and they have food plot seeds. So something for everyone. Use code WCB2021 to save yourself some coin on some good stuff for your deer.
Cha-ching.
Or you're going to like it.
Or whatever animal might
eat. I guarantee it.
That's all.
You're going to like the way your buck looks. I guarantee it.
I see what you're doing.
Yeah, see like that?
The podcast is also brought to you by Loophold Optics. Very proud of that partnership. We love Loophold, based out of Beaverton, Oregon.
That's right.
Great people, great products, from rangefinders to binos to spotting scopes for us. We don't really use the rifle scopes because we're not into gun hunting as much, but they make great scopes too. Mm-hmm. Performance eyewear, they got it all. We think you'll like it. Loophold Optics, check them out. Tell them that we sent you. That helps out. Mm-hmm. The Midwest Takeover is what we're calling it. Loophold is going to be more and more involved in the whitetail game as
everywhere.
As we work together. So give them a shot. or you just go buy whatever is at your big box store. You know, go out and play with the loophole. Also, spy point cameras from a Cell Link, which is a great entry way to get into some spy points, to the Link Micros. They really have a lineup for everybody at a good price.
Great price.
And you can be an insider club on there. You get different pricing on your plans and entered into giveaways and all sorts of good stuff like that. If you're going to buy a cell cam, just check them out.
We think they have like a free plan for 100 pictures a month.
Which is sweet during the summer.
Yep.
Sweet during the summer or in a spot where you don't get a ton of traffic.
Yeah.
So, and you can kind of, you get better pricing with the Insiders Club, or you can kind of just price out what works for you or do the free plan. Why not? Rogue Ridge e-bikes, the entry and exit strategy for a lot of people come in and out of the deer woods and even probably the western woods, whatever they're hunting, e-bikes are changing the way. No scent trail, silent, and it's fun.
Yep.
I think people just forget it's fun.
Hell, you can even ride over to your buddy's house and drink a few beers, you know?
I mean, maybe you've done it.
No.
I'd never do that.
No.
The podcast also brought to you by Scent Crusher. Been working with Scent Crusher for a long time. I know, you know, you can't always go scent free no matter what, but it helps to go in as scent free as possible. Mm-hmm. Always play the wind, but why not take every precaution that you can, especially if you're hunting mature whitetails? You're dumb not to try it.
Go the extra mile.
Yeah, go the extra mile from the gear bag, the roller bag, everything. Love our Scent Crusher stuff. Check them out, scentcrusher.com. And then that all being said, with another one of our partners that kind of ties into all our other partners is Old Barn Taxidermy.
Yep.
You know, you spend your hard-earned money on some of these products that we believe in, the products that believe, or people behind the product that believe in us in order to partner with us. Don't go cheap on your taxidermy. Two things I don't cheap on, tattoos and taxidermy. It's pretty good.
Right. Boom.
And that's it. Everything else, maybe I'm cheap out, but
I'm a cheap ass.
I'm over it. I pay for convenience anytime I can.
Like I'm shopping at Harbor Freight, you know?
Well, I mean, I'm a Pittsburgh man, so what's up?
That's right.
And also Novix tree stands, we have a code for them, working class 21 for 15% off, and novixoutdoors.com. You can get into an American made tree stand, for really reasonably priced, and you can get into one for under bear stand with offset bracket 9.2 pounds. That's pretty kick-ass.
That is kick-ass.
That's awesome. Pretty kick-ass. And what's great about them, they are local to us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's even better. Made in USA. They're proud of that, and we're proud to be partnered with them.
That's
pretty
right.
Awesome. Back in the tree stand game. So check them out. That's code Working Class 21. I always go WCB like in my head. Working Class 21 for 15% off.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them we sent you.
Wait.
Thank you for tuning into the podcast, and we hope you enjoy it. We got through them, so you can get to the show. Thanks for being here.
I'm Chase Rolfson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
Working class. Welcome to the podcast, episode 467.
Savon.
God darn. That's how you say seven.
Get up there.
Damn, bring those TikTok references. Doug's got an Instagram for his mustache.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
We made it.
Moving on up.
If anyone out there has seen that or runs it, let us know. What's it? Doug's mustache?
Oh. WCB.
Doug's mustache WCB on Instagram?
Something like that.
We suspect a couple people. We think we know.
I'm pretty sure I know who it is.
Who do you think it is? Do you want to say?
No, we don't want to say. I don't think we want to, because we want to create an account.
Let's leave it open, dude. Let's leave it open.
It could be anybody. Okay. We'll see. Anyway, welcome
to
the podcast.
Do you think it has anything to do with Ross's beard? I think it might.
I think it's tied into that.
The same people?
Yeah.
The same conspiracy?
I'm willing to bet.
Who do you think is going to get more followers?
Fuck you, man.
Fuck you, man.
Sorry, bud.
Does anyone post? Is there anything updated in Ross's beard?
No, not for years. The guy's slacking. Well, let's and catch I say up, guy because it is a guy.
Okay.
What if it wasn't, though?
What if it wasn't?
Mm-hmm.
Fellas, how y'all doing?
Good.
I'm doing great.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Go ahead.
So when people listen to this in podcast land, it's a little bit delayed. Like, we've been catching up on our busy schedule because of the delay from obviously the construction of building the studio. So some of the stuff you guys are hearing is delayed, but relevant for the timing. But if you're listening to this in real time, I had a baby several weeks ago, but in real life, I just had a baby. So that's cool.
Right. Congratulations, my man.
Thank you. Little Clyde,
healthy, big baby boy.
Yep. Clyde David.
Yep.
He's a little hammer.
That's
little
awesome, dude.
Yeah, all healthy, all good there. What's up with you boys? Anything new?
No babies.
Nothing really.
Yeah, nothing as impressive as that.
No kids yet.
So I know about the time this launches, I will be either already in Wyoming or getting ready, and you guys will either be in Alaska or on your way. And I'm really excited for these hunts, but I'm really excited for whitetail season.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so, yeah.
Hanging some stands, getting plot stuff wrapped up.
Yep.
All that. So
just got a plot sprayed the other day. Gonna plant some shit in here next week.
I mowed and sprayed. Are you doing soil samples?
Nope.
Fuck. I have to after that podcast.
I know it's killing me not to, but I'm like,
so
I'm
easy.
I'm such a fucking hillbilly. It'll grow.
One of them, I'm almost tempted to be like, because I don't want to fuck around in there too much. Like, I don't want to go in there another time. But I think what I'm gonna do is till it. I'm gonna try and till it this weekend, and then take my soil sample then. And then get out of there.
Yep.
It's a good call.
Then go back in and, I don't know. I just don't want to have to go back in and, like, have to add a bunch of shit to it and fuck around in there more than I need to.
Yep. My tractor broke down 2 days ago, so we've got a good chance for rain coming in over the next couple days. And it's getting right about that time where you're supposed to be starting in on your fall plots for big time. So I touched up a couple of kind of sparse soybean plots. I sprinkled in a little bit of buck brunch. So it'll be nice. A combo soybean buck brunch plot.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to do soil tests for two plots, and I have a couple little true working class plots. I'm just going to seed them and with clover and hope for the best.
Yep. The one I did, weeded it, sprayed it, and I'll go in with some buck brush and cover it up.
Cool. Well, let's chat here. First of all, let's knock something out in this intro. So our buddy Jeremy Beck from Wisconsin, he's not afraid to say what he thinks about.
To speak his mind.
We love you, Jeremy. You're the man.
Like, if we have an opinion on the podcast, he'll just be like, oh, that's stupid. And then he'll respectfully argue with us, if that's a term.
It is.
You're never going to wonder what's on his mind. He's always going to let you know.
Not going to fight him.
Well, you're definitely not going to fight him, but it sounds like he works with a bunch of idiots because...
I don't know that he works with them. They're his buddies.
They're his buddies.
Well, you should be friends with these people, Jeremy.
Word on the street.
Word on the street. They think Ross's buck didn't go 200. So I got to say my claim here, because Jeremy told you this. He's like, hey, my buddies think you're full of shit.
Yeah.
If you watch...
This has been a shoot. It's
been several months.
And I just blew it off, but tonight I had a...
You remember it?
Jab in my side, and I just thought, I'll talk about it.
If you watch the Ross's recovery of his 202-inch buck on our YouTube, and you think that buck is not... If you say that buck's not near 200, that buck didn't go 200, I would assume that you don't know what big deer look like.
Yeah. I knew when we recovered that deer, and I said he's 80s, like I said with confidence, that deer is at least 80s. I figured he was... upper 80s, low 90s, just looking at him. And I'm the one that scored him that night. And what'd we come up with, 202? I mean,
three times of 202.
Yeah, he's I mean, if he's not 202, he's damn close. He's within an inch or two of that.
Well, I know for a fact I'm an official measurer, if you want to call it that. And I've measured look at me. I've measured the same deer you've measured, and
I'm not off by much.
It's within a couple inches.
Yeah, that deer's 200.
He's 200. If you hold that buck or see that buck or watch that video,
it's fucking 200.
Like, what if it's not 200? What are they calling it? Did he say?
Yeah,
no,
170.
Wouldn't say that.
150.
Yeah, when people see it, if we bring to the trade shows, when they see it, they'll know. Like, you just got to see it in person, really.
Yeah,
he's huge. They also don't like your voice, Ross.
No, that sucks.
Maybe it's a personal thing for them.
Honestly, my voice sucks today anyway. It's just been real raspy here the last month, it feels like.
But they said they didn't like your voice on the podcast, huh?
Nah, sucks.
These guys hate you for some reason.
I don't get the reason. Just because you shot a 200-incher?
They got low self-esteem.
I think everybody's got to have that guy they're hating on, Ross. You're at the top, so people are picking at you a little bit.
Tough being at the top.
No, it just hates. Hey. I'm just here. That's been a while. I haven't been here for a while, so
haters gonna hate, you know.
Haters gonna hate.
Haters gonna hate. So anyway, I had to bring that up because I thought it was funny. But
yeah, Jeremy, tell your friends they suck.
Yeah, get some new friends.
Yeah, get some friends that know deer. You know what I mean? And appreciate a good beard once in a while.
Yeah,
used to be. So, man, I just shaved this thing off for this moose trip.
I mean, it's still high level.
I took like 10 pounds off of it.
Yeah,
still magnificent beard.
Great beard on.
Can't talk.
Yeah, still the strong beard in the room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You definitely
ain't feeding into the Insta, though.
No, not
yeah, what the fuck? Got nothing.
Not the page. The page has gone stale. We
Stash is taking over him.
So let's talk about this moose hunt, fellas. We've been kind of hinting on it for a while throughout the podcast because you guys have obviously had this plan for a little bit. I don't know where you want to start with it. I think you're talking to the end of that mic there, Ross.
Right in the top.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forget. That's the first time you've talked into the Shure mics.
Can you hear me now?
Gosh dang. Oh, it's been a while.
Yeah. It's been that long. You're anyway. On. This is video too, Ross. So
sweet. Good.
Just so you know.
So well, here I am.
No, it's been a long time in the making, man. We've been, Ross, how long we've been planning this trip? Two, three years? Yep. We booked this trip a long ways out. We've got a local buddy, actually three local buddies that have already went up to this outfitter and had great success up there and had nothing but good things to say. And, you know, this has been a dream of mine. Like, this is one of my big ones. So I did months and months of research. Well, probably a solid month. I remember it was in the wintertime. I'm like, all right, we're going moose hunting. I want to find the right outfitter to go with. And I knew that our buddy had already been up to Papa Bear Adventures.
And you did good, man. You explored like four or five different ones.
Dude, I had three pages of outfitters that I went through. I called people. I did my research. Yep. And I kept coming back to the same two or three guys. And in the end, we'd already had local boots on the ground. They had a great experience. So we're like, why wouldn't we book with these people? And that's how we made our decision.
Yeah, we settled on that.
That helps, too, that you know someone that's been up there and has experience and success up there.
Yep, makes you feel a little better. Somebody's already been thousands of miles away, been to this operation, and can attest to the quality of the operation.
Right. So what explain the hunt. Like, so you found this outfit. Why did you, besides those factors of having the, I guess, the comfort zone of having people that have been up there or whatever, what else like kind of won you over on it?
Well,
and what type of hunt is it? Like, kind of break it down.
It appealed to us because we're working class guys, so we don't want to have $20,000+ in a moose hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go with a guide up there, that's what you're going to have in it.
It's like 20 to 30 grand.
Yeah, it's expensive. We just didn't want to front that kind of money. So this was appealing to us because it's a do-it-yourself style hunt. So you go up there, you ship your gear, or you can rent some gear from them, either way you want to do it. And they know the area. They'll have several hunting locations already predetermined, and we'll kind of talk with them when the time comes and pick out our area. They fly you in on a float plane, drop you off for 10 days with the supplies that you have with you, and then any supplies that come in this package. We'll kind of go over that, but it's affordable. It's more affordable than going through a guide. It's a do-it-yourself style hunt, but you have people up there that know the animals and know the area and are putting you in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it was interesting for us.
So you guys are going, you don't have a guide with you, you're going in blind.
It's just the three
They fly us in on a float plane and kick you out and say see you in 10 days.
Good luck.
That's bizarre.
Unless you kill, which is awesome. They have a sat phone. You just call them and they come flying in, grab the meat, and get out of there.
So do they pick you up at the same location, or do you guys like float down?
Nope, it's not a float trip. It will be at a predetermined location, so we'll set up camp right there. The kit that we've got does come with a boat and a motor and gas, so we will have the capability to cruise around the water, the body of water that we're on, to kind of scout around. But yeah, well, I imagine primarily most of our hunting is going to be done within a mile of our base camp.
Damn, that's gonna be cool.
That is gonna be cool.
Okay, it's, so do you want to talk about how much it was? Or you, let's. We probably should not do that.
It changes. So every year, it's more and more with inflation and everything else. Every year, the price goes up. Our buddy Ray went down there two or three years ago, and it was $2,000 or $3,000 less than what we're in it for. I think we're up in the eights.
Yep.
It was in the $8,000 range.
So that's very affordable compared to the $20,000 if you have a guide with you. It is.
It's less than half the price. But then you have to figure all the gear you have to buy. That's the thing. You have to figure your flight up there and back. It's expensive, as we found out today, to get gear shipped up there. We're shipping 100 pounds of gear a piece up there right now. And then you have to get the meat back. After, if you're successful, you have to get all the meat back, so that gets expensive.
Which we've been pretty fortunate enough to find out there's a semi that'll come with a reefer on it that'll come out of Anchorage,
yes.
One or the other.
Yes,
and then out of Anchorage. Drive all the way back to Chicago.
Oh, so, that's nice. So you can just pick it
How'd
up.
How'd you
right
find that?
It was through the guide.
And then there's another book that I read, and the guy used the same company. It's like Alaska... What is it? Alaska Meat Express or something like that. But yeah. I think he's from Wisconsin, but he delivers meat to Chicago. I think it's during the month of October. He makes several runs just for the moose season. Like he's bringing.
So it'll be just a matter of sit around and wait for his call, and he'll tell us when he's coming, and then we'll.
So that's all he does is bring game back. He doesn't bring like seafood or nothing, just game.
I guess he could, right?
No.
But someone's like, hey, you're going that way.
I'm sure he does. I think it's probably a.
It's my friend Charles, you know.
Yeah,
hey, pick me up some lobster while you're up there.
Very cool. So
I'm hungry.
Let's talk about gear first.
Okay.
Before we get into like the hunt expectations and stuff like that. I mean, you mentioned we got to buy gear.
Yep.
What do you mean?
Okay, so through this outfitter, when we book with this outfitter, you get their a moose camp kit or whatever. So it comes with a Cabela's Guide Series 6-man. Canvas tent. So you get a nice size tent. There's going to be three of us with our gear. So you get that. You get a 2-burner stove with the propane, the big propane tank.
Yeah.
You get our cots. You get chairs. You get a cooking kit, which has all your cookware and everything in it. What else? Is there anything else in that kit that I'm missing?
It's like a little gas stove, so we don't light any fires while we're up there. Because they said you're just going to scare the moose off. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
So you can't have like a bonfire at night?
He said you can if you want to, but you're just kind of alerting the animals in the area. They're not used to fires up there. You know, it's just remote. They're not used to it.
So we're going to stay away from that.
Maybe we'll bring them in. Curiosity.
Hey, I doubt that. Curiosity.
Yeah, like a grizzly bear. Yeah,
maybe curiosity the bears. Killed the moose.
Okay, that makes sense. Like, they never see it. They never smell it.
Yep.
So that does make a lot of sense.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. We were looking forward to sitting in front of a nice crackling fire at night, but the guy that runs the operation dissuaded us from that. He said, if you want to start one up after you kill a moose, you know, to cook a steak or whatever, do that.
Isn't it like kind of off track, but isn't it bizarre? Like up there, there's animals that have never seen people. Like down here, it's so like every animal I think I've seen in person. Yeah,
yeah, they live with us. Yeah, that is cool to think about.
It's crazy,
but that's exactly why, like, you know, don't start a fire. You know, that makes perfect sense.
Yep.
So okay,
so that's,
don't start a fire.
Yeah. So that's some of the gear that we get through the outfitter. Ross,
and we get that boat and the blow. It's like a blow up boat.
Yep.
With a dinghy.
It's like a dinghy.
Yep.
With a 2-horse motor on it.
Get a little motor, get the fuel, all that's included. And none of that goes on our weight. So we're all limited to 100 pounds per guy of gear. That includes clothing, food, weapons. That's everything.
Holy smokes, man.
You guys shipped your stuff like today?
Yep.
So is your bow up there?
No.
Not yet.
So we shipped probably, on average, probably 85 to 90 pounds per guy. Well, probably more than that counting the food. We're a little heavy, so... We're going to have the luxury. This Papa Bear has a base camp. So we go up there. We stay at their base camp the day before our hunt. We get to package all of our stuff that's going to go on the plane, and then they weigh it, and you get your 100-pound limit there. Mm-hmm. So if we're a little heavy on gear that we sent up, we can kind of sort out what we're really going to need and then get it ready for the plane, and then we fly in the bush the next day.
Well, and that'll probably be nice, too, because you'll have the guide right there. He might be like, hey, you really don't need this.
Right.
If you don't,
yeah.
You don't
exactly.
Bring it with you, but...
Yep.
And at the same time, he can be like, hey, you don't really need this, so don't take it.
And they don't recommend shipping up a bunch more gear than what you need, but we're probably a little heavy on what we've sent up so far.
So did they send you a gear recommendation list? Like, you know, they did. You got your list that's going to be there when you get there. Like, yeah, you mentioned the boat and all that.
Yep.
So, man, I wish you had that list.
I do too. I kind of dropped the ball.
I printed off all three of us three-ring binders so we could go through everything. And we just went through it last night. Packing up all the rest of my stuff because
I know Cody how much this podcast matters to you guys now.
Huh?
I know how much this podcast matters.
I dropped the ball on that. I was supposed to make a list.
Hey, dude.
Glad to have you here, Eric.
No. Hey, you guys want to go on a moose trip?
I'd love to. I'd bring the list with if we podcasted.
Yeah, that was my bad.
I remembered the ladder and the light bulbs for the front of the studio. So. Well,
Austin dropped the ball.
I did. It's my bad. But I think I'll be able to remember most of the gear if we just sit down and talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Austin said earlier Papa Bear, but it's Papa Bear Adventures is where we're going.
Yep. Okay, shout out to them. What's up? Free hunt. What's up?
Sick.
Okay, so let's maybe go over what you can remember that they recommended you bring.
Yeah, clothing's the first thing that I'm starting to think of, and rain gear is like the important thing. So you want to have a nice quality set of rain gear and footwear. So we've never been up there. Everybody's got their own system they like. Ross and I ended up deciding on their Sims waders, and then they go into a Sims wading boot. Hmm. So the boot actually stays wet. And then your feet stay dry inside of the waders. So it's like a two-piece system. The boot is actually separate from the waders.
Gotcha.
I think they were called...
Because everything is just wet up there.
It is. You're wet a lot. So this basically goes all the way up to your chest, and then you're covered.
It's going
to
be sweaty as hell.
You think so?
They're lightweight. They're very lightweight. So a lot of guys will bring a full, like a neoprene wader up there. We had a buddy that... One of the three guys we were talking about that went up, they brought a full neoprene wader and they went like a day and they're like, we can't do it. We're just swimming in our own sweat.
Mm. Yeah, so mid-September, it could probably be either really hot or probably starting to get chilly up there.
I think it's going to be like probably 50s for an average, I would say. But it's still going to be hot when you're moving in those waders.
And waders too, because it's all one piece.
Yeah.
Which a good thing is we've had three buddies up there already that have told us that you need to be clothed for cold weather, but you're going to walk for a little while and then you're going to sit all day. So just
kind of that damp, wet.
Yep.
Yep. You could be sitting for a long time.
Yeah.
Bring glassing. Some layers.
Just sitting as in just
looking. Glassing and just calling and seeing who's moving. I mean, this is a 10-day hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go up there. We're going to do whatever we can. We're going to split off. There might be two guys go, you know, together, and then the third guy go by himself.
Right. So can we break down, I mean, we can go back to gear, but like the 10-day hunt, are you guys hunting for 10 days?
I want to break down gear before we go into the hunt.
Yep.
Because I think the gear is important, because if anybody's thinking about it.
Yeah. I guess if you're going to spend money on gear, and we're talking about clothing, your biggest thing is rainwear. You're going to want to spend some money on a nice rain suit and some nice boots. You can go with the system like Ross and I did. That's an integrated boot and wader system. Our buddy Cody's going up with us. He's got a full hip boot, so it comes all the way up to his waist, basically. You can do that. I know Crispy makes a really nice boot that has an integrated gaiter in it. It's a waterproof boot with an integrated gaiter. It goes almost up to your knee. I considered those, but they're like $600 and some bucks. So it was a couple hundred dollars more than the system that I looked at, so I just decided to go with the cheaper system.
And the nice thing about our boots are they have boas on them already, so you can click them and tighten them, or you can just pop it and get right out of them.
Yep.
Because I imagine you guys will take those off when you sleep and stuff just to air out and all that.
Yeah. And our three buddies told us that the best thing you could do in the morning is after you're done cooking your breakfast and you have all this hot water, pour it right in your boot and warm your feet up.
Oh, yeah.
Before you get in there.
Yep. The boot's going to be wet, so it's going to be cold when it's 30 degrees when you wake up. So you take your hot water in the morning, dump it in the boot, stick your foot in it when it's nice and warm, and you're good to go.
It's bizarre, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm honestly scared to death because I've always got cold feet, so I don't know if my feet are going to fare very well up there in this system.
I think the system makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, if you got to be wet, it would suck to just not have that and just have wet feet. You'd suffer.
Yep.
Oh, you wouldn't make it with wet feet.
Mm-mm. Are you taking Damien's advice? You going to get that pedicure?
You know, we might do that.
I might do it before I go to Wyoming.
Yeah, Kurt and I talked about that. Maybe we'll make it a bro date and we'll go get pedicures.
Oh, hell, I'll just go with you.
All of us go.
Yeah, we're going on a hunt too.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, we're going hunting.
It removes the dead skin from your feet. I guess it's supposed to make the trip a little more enjoyable on your feet if you have a pedicure.
What if you went in there, they just rummed your feet raw and then your feet hurt the whole time? Yeah.
This doesn't sound very working class, talking about getting a...
I'm going to be honest with you, dude. Like, I'm looking forward to this, getting my feet wet all day, every day, because you know that's the best time to clip your toenails. So I'm bringing toenail clippers, because when your feet are wet, your toenails are wet. They're nice and easy to clip.
I bought tape for Wyoming called, I forget it now that I'm trying to make a point. Leukotape. It's like an athletic tape, so if you get hot spots, you put the tape on your feet.
Yeah, Damien recommended that too, didn't he?
Oh, I don't know. So my wife's friend is like a backcountry hiker, and they use it. And then I was watching a video with like Born and Raised Outdoors, and they used it too. And I was like, oh shit, that's kind of funny. So I ordered some just to have it in case I get hot spots. So I don't know. That might be worth bringing.
Yeah. That's honestly one of the books I just read. The athletic tape was on the list as one of the go-tos in the first aid kit. So while we're on that topic, get a good first aid kit if you're going up. You never know. I mean, you're handling sharp knives when you're dressing animals out. Stomach medicine. If you've, you know, your stomach's not going to be used to the kind of food that you're eating, your diet's going to change a little bit. Advil for if you have a bad knee or ankle or whatever. Ross and I both sympathize with those conditions. So
Well, just not to mention you're walking all day, you're gonna be sore, so you don't have that anyway.
Good first aid kit, good clothing, whatever brand you're gonna rock. Ross is gonna be running a combination of stuff. I'm gonna be running some Sitka and a lot of Huntsworth gear. Ross, you're gonna have a lot of QU gear.
I got a lot of QU gear, but I've also got a bunch of Huntsworth in there too, so it's just a combination. Both my rain gear is already QU, so I'm just rolling with that. But
yeah, working class.
Boy, I'll tell you what, some of that Huntsworth stuff is dynamite.
It's kick ass.
If I hadn't already bought a bunch of stuff out of QU and spent a fortune doing that, I'd definitely go Huntsworth. Man, my voice is just...
No, you're right. You sound manly. just talking gear, and I don't want to get off on what I'm doing, but I'm bringing was trying to think what to pack in my pack of like my Huntsworth gear, and I'm bringing like the light pair of pants, the base layers that we have, that hoodie that has the built-in face mask and the two pockets, that and the midweight jacket is all I'm bringing, and I'm gonna throw that all in my pack. I don't know if I'll need more, maybe I will, but
hey, you never know.
It doesn't hurt
to have it.
Hate having a lot of gear, like it annoys me, so I'd hate to just have like this pair of pants that I never need to touch.
Yeah, but you can't put them on if you don't have them.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't know. Well,
that's the one thing about this trip. You don't really have the luxury of overpacking. Yeah, you pretty much bring what you have to have. And I probably went a little heavy on some of the clothing, but
I think Austin came in at 96 pounds and I'm at 81.
I've got a couple extra items like the sled and a couple of wet bags.
He's got some extra stuff in there.
Sled.
Our buddy Cody made us it's like a hard plastic pole sled. So if we get a large, like a quarter or something, and we're just gassed and it's the last thing to come out, we'll have the ability to put it on this pole sled and drag it out versus putting it on our
carrying
back.
It.
Yeah, what's nice about all this, like, yeah, you close to 100 pounds, but it's not on your back the entire time. Like you have it at camp.
Right.
Right.
Which is nice.
Do the old trick, get a long stick and tie it up and carry it out.
You know,
we'll have options.
What else? I mean, what else is on this gear list?
We brought a few extra things. So our buddy Cody devised a nice block and tackle system. So if we do happen to get a moose that's out in the water, we can get onto him. Paracord's a big thing. They recommend that you bring, 200 or 300 feet per guy.
I think we're stacked at like 600. Paracord.
So you bring up a lot of paracord, so we can use that to pull the bull out of the water if we have to with this system.
I've got a shovel.
Yep, got to have a shovel, got to have a hatchet.
Got to have a shitter.
The Wyoming saw is a really high quality saw that they recommend, so the Wyoming saw is good for boning and for wood. We have three blades of each. We have a really nice water filtration system that I dropped a couple hundred bucks on. We've got three filters with it, so that's going to filter all of our water. Mm-hmm. So you don't bring any water in with you.
Water jugs.
We've got collapsible water jugs. I've got a hot water, like a hot shower bag that will heat up from the sun. It's like a black bag. Oh man. Of course, binoculars, rangefinder, you know, you got to have good optics.
We're
rocking loophole up there for sure. We're going to leave the spotting scope at home. We're just going to bring binoculars, I think.
Yeah.
In this area, there's not going to be a lot of judging. Like, we don't have stipulations on antler. There's no antler restrictions. So in our unit, it is, it's any bull. Whereas a lot of, units in Alaska, it's a 50-inch bull or a minimum of three or four brow tines, whatever it is. In our area, we don't have to worry about that. So,
yeah.
Oh, really?
No. Yeah, that makes it nice. But it's pretty marshy up there, so we're going to be wet the whole time.
Yeah.
I mean,
you guys ever think, this might seem silly, but bringing like a bouillon cube, whatever, beef broth, chicken broth.
Bouillon. Yep. Ross was talking to me about that.
Bouillon. Yep. We talked about
bouillon.
Bouillon.
I don't know.
Bouillon cube, ain't it?
Bouillon. Broth.
Bouillon.
Hey, broth cube. You ever think about bringing a broth cube up there?
I just think, beef, like, chicken.
That might be a nice thing, like to heat it up on your stove and just have like, I don't know. I feel like that's like an energy booster.
If we're going to talk about food, we went to Walmart and loaded up the cart there last weekend. We got some variety. So you're looking for lightweight food that has high calories.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Butthole sandwiches, man.
Yeah. Butthole sandwich is a good one. I like that. And I've never tried it, but it sounds perfect because you're talking a butthole sandwich as a bagel and peanut butter, high protein.
Syrup
and bacon. That's a lot of calories in a little sandwich.
Butthole sandwich.
Buckstorm taught me about that when we went to Colorado.
I like that.
I know a lot of people eat them. I don't know if everyone calls them the same thing, but I thought it was pretty funny.
It's a great name.
Yeah.
What did we get for those dry meals?
We've got Mountain House meals.
Mountain House.
We've got a lot of breakfast, a lot of dinner. Mountain House meals. They recommend two per guy per day for 10 days. So, you know, three guys.
Dude, Mountain House fills you up so fast. Like, I get lethargic from them. They're crammed full of calories.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then Mountain House heads up. Have you guys have you eaten Mountain House before, Ross?
Not me.
Eat some.
Yeah.
Because it'll either lock you up or make you shit your brains out. It's one or the other.
Okay.
To me, seriously.
I'm just going to dive into this. I might end up just eating pretzels the whole time. I don't know.
I'll say it locks you up.
It locks me up, which is cool because I don't have to worry about pooping.
You mean like, yeah. It's like a bear for preparing for hibernation, just packs his ass full of pine cones.
I eat one Mountain House for dinner. I don't shit for 4 days. I'm telling you, like, test it out. See how it makes your body feel.
That's scary. There's like 35 grams of protein per meal.
They fill you up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want, though. Lightweight, high calorie meal. Yeah. So
they're delicious.
We got a bunch of those. We got peanut butter. Yeah. We got high calorie breakfast bars. We got tuna, you know, jerky, stuff that can keep. Like, we have already shipped up all of our food. I mean, it's all going to keep for 5 weeks.
Yeah.
So, lightweight, high calorie food is what you're looking for. Stuff that will that has a good shelf life. And when we get up there, we'll get a few fresh items like maybe some potatoes, onions, mushrooms, stuff. If we kill a moose, stuff to kind of
say same. That'll be our break when we kill a moose. Yeah. And then we can
have a big moose steak, some fresh stuff to kind of complement the dish. And that'll be a nice little meal in Alaska.
I'll probably just lay down for 2 days.
Okay. So I don't want to miss any of I want to get to all the gear that you can think of. If there's extra, let's talk about it. But I want to get into like what Eric was trying to get to earlier, some of the hunting.
Yep.
Topic. So
what else we got? We're bringing Zoleos. You've got one, I've got one.
Yep.
They're a device that allows you to text. It's an unlimited text package.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be able to check in with the old ladies every day when we get up there, and you guys.
Say what about us?
Yeah, we'll throw your number in there.
You're in
the
there. Boys.
And you guys are bringing a podcast recorder up there.
We'll have a recorder so we portable can do some recorder. Recording in the tent.
There better be a minimum of 4 podcasts coming out of this trip.
Shit, we got numbers now.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, guys, hate to interrupt this amazing podcast.
God, it's so good.
It's so good.
Jeez.
We're
just killing it.
Self-serving, huh?
Big fans of
Look at us go.
Real big fans of ourselves. The podcast is... been a partner with HHA Sports for a long time, and we appreciate you letting us bother you about HHA. It was a Wisconsin-based company, and they were kind enough to give us a code WCB15 so you could save some money if you were in the market.
Save some coin.
On a new site, on a new rest, or a new stabilizer setup. They back their products with a lifetime warranty. That's if anything right. happens to them, hit them up. They'll take care of you. That is American right there.
Yeah. It's lifetime guaranteed.
Check out HHA and let them know we sent you.
You know what they say, you know, great cheese, great sights.
That's right.
Did they say that in Wisconsin?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Great cheese, great beer, great sights.
Yeah, I heard it somewhere.
Great people.
Hmm.
Decent. Really good both sides. Really good both sides. And also Huntworth, huntworthgear.com. If you are unfamiliar with Huntworth, it is a clothing and camouflage company that I think is priced great for working class people and available at a lot of like farm stores in your area.
So really check them out.
They have some awesome patterns, Disruption and Tarnin. And Hidden. Disruption's really cool. That's what I am rocking. The majority of my camo this year is Disruption.
Same.
It's more of like a digital look. I think, Doug, you are rocking more of the Tarnin.
Yep, I'm a Tarnin camo. Boy.
But their clothing is excellent, especially considering the price. You can get into a full hunting setup for under $500. And we're not just talking like a jacket and like one, like fully set up.
It's not a jacket and a pair of socks for $500.
No. It's, you know, like it's not one jacket for $500 because
you it's feel the whole system.
It's a whole system.
Yeah.
You can be set up. There's packs coming out. Huntworthgear.com. Check them out. I think you'll really like them if you're in the market for a new jacket, new clothing, anything like that. Make your dollar go as far as possible so you can spend on things that matter, like maybe taxidermy or whatever else.
And that's what's sweet about them being at any local store, pretty much, is you can go there and try it out. Like it's
Our Farm and Fleet has it.
Right. Go try it on. It's badass shit.
Yep. It is awesome. So check them out. Huntworthgear.com.
Real nice.
Back to the episode.
We can do four.
10 days?
10-day hunt.
Yeah, 10 days.
One every other day. We got it.
Better have at least like 10, 30-minute updates.
I'm bringing like 15 bricks of double A's, and we're just going to keep that thing loaded and turned on the whole time.
Day one. My feet are wet.
I'm hungry.
Intimidating. I want to go home.
We're joking around. But our three buddies that have been up there, they said, you know, you can be in physical strength and just be ready to rock.
It's a mental
game. But you
got
to be mentally strong.
Yeah.
Oh,
because
Watch
you got nothing. You can't just go to the bathroom and wipe your ass with toilet paper. Like, it's... Or go to the cabinet and grab a bag of chips. Like, it's just...
Yeah, you're over there shitting near a wolf den.
Speaking of that, we got a lot of wet wipes. We're good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's another...
Wet wipes. We got a lot of dude wipes.
Yeah.
Those are a must.
I bought a dude wipe, like, sampler package for Wyoming.
We'll get the cool mint ones.
No, I don't want
Real
that.
Nice.
Ooh.
We're unscented.
Cool mint?
Way.
Yeah, I'm unscented. Oh, I'm not trying to menthol my asshole.
Oh, it's nice.
Monkey butt
extra. It's like smoking a cigarette
for your real butthole.
It's like smoking a cigarette for your butthole.
I don't want that on me.
No.
Is that mint?
It's refreshing. I don't want a moose busting me because my ass smells like a mint leaf.
Why not?
Mint leaf and Mountain House runs. Just... Not a great time for anybody. So the food is good. So let's talk equipment as far as bow rifle.
Weapons.
Okay, we have yet to ship that up. We're keeping that at home with us. We're going to fly with the rifle and the bow.
Yep.
Let me throw this at you first, Austin. Everyone's going to be like, are you doing it with trad?
Right. I wanted to, but no. We're going to be rocking the Elite. I've got a lot of money in this trip. This has been years in the making. I'm not messing around. If I get an opportunity at 60 yards, I want to be able to capitalize on that. So the Remedy is coming up. Shooting the Remedy, 70 pounds, 29-inch draw. The arrows are the...
VAP TKO
SSs, 75-grain insert. I'm going to be shooting 100-grain solid broadhead on it. And what else? The rifle is going to be a 300 Win Mag. The rifle is the backup plan. Hopefully, we don't even have to pick it up.
Are you guys bringing three rifles or just one?
Two rifles for three guys just to have a backup. We'll have two 300 Win Mags. We're shooting 180 grains. We're practicing out at 300 yards and shooting good with them. So we got loophole scopes on them. We're dialed in, shooting great at 300. I'm bringing a 10mm Glock as a sidearm. There is a chance that we're going to have an encounter with a grizzly. So
click clack, baby. Yeah,
want to have that security up on my chest.
That
so.
Kiefer brother sidearm.
He told me 10mm, so that's what I'm going with. 190 grain bullet, Buffalo Bore 190 onto the 10mm.
He'd be proud, I bet.
Yep.
Okay.
Gee whiz.
But then you got Greg Gessinger.
I can't say his last name either.
I'm so sorry.
Glessinger. Yep.
Glessinger. There you go.
I fuck it up.
He says he's been up there a lot and says you don't need a sidearm.
He says the spray is faster than the sidearm.
Okay.
But it's in that podcast that Rogan just had on with the bear guy from Arkansas. They did a study on that. I can't remember that guy's name, but either way, it was a good podcast. He said they did a study on it, and they concluded you need both. Because if you got a bear running at you, by the time you spray him, he's still got 3 seconds before he realizes he's been hit with bear spray, and then he's on your ass.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to decipher which weapon I need when one's coming at me, so I'm just going with the 10 millimeters. Just something about the country boy in me wants a gun instead of spray.
Pulling between the eyes if you can.
Yeah, I'm just going to send it.
Just spray him with both.
Yeah. Chances are you're never going to have to pull that trigger. I mean, it's going to get ugly with the Department of Fish and Game and everything else if you do have to pull the trigger on one. But
rather have it than not.
Yeah. Another thing you got to think about.
Well, what we've been told.
Yeah. What we've been told by going up there, when you have your base camp set up and the wind starts switching direction, say you have a moose that has to stay overnight with you, you got to move that meat so that it's upwind of you.
Oh.
Or I'm sorry, downwind of you. Because you don't want a bear to have to walk into that scent.
To cut you. Right. And cut you on the way to the meat.
Go through camp to get to that meat. So our asses are going to be really busy moving meat around all night.
The good thing
is... I won't sleep. If we have meat in camp, I ain't going to sleep.
Yeah. Good thing is, these guys, we're going to have a satellite phone and communicate with our outfitters. So when we get a bull down, it's going to be a day or two. If the, you know, weather permitting, they're going to be in the next day to pick up that meat.
Yeah,
you know?
True.
So it's not going to be in camp with us for very long.
What happens if a grizzly does get on the meat?
I don't know.
It's his probably at that point.
I mean, yeah, I'm not going to try to...
I wonder what you... I don't know if you guys knew, like, legally, like, can you do anything? Can you give it up? Or
I don't think so, man. I mean, they've told us straight up. I mean, the only thing you can leave behind is the backbone and the gut pile.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Everything else has to come out on the bone.
They take that very seriously up in Alaska. There should be no spoilage.
They should.
Yeah.
You guys should keep the heart and eat it in camp.
Oh, I'll eat the heart for sure. I'm not.
It's got to be like.
I think I'll eat the ass. Honestly, at this point, I'll get done with Mountain House meals, and I'll eat the ass out if I have to. Whatever it takes, man.
Well, you would anyway. So,
jeez.
I'm not a big liver guy, but I'll eat heart, man. I like deer heart's one of my jams.
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's real good. Okay, so let's talk the hunt. Expectations.
Concerns.
Expectations, concerns, goals.
What you nervous about?
Goals and then backup goals, because you got to have a backup goal for a trip like this. Whoever would like to go first, I mean, or what is the expectation? Whoever wants to go first.
I mean.
Come on, give it to us.
Here it goes. So, Austin's is going to be a lot better than mine, but. I've told these guys from the get-go. Yeah. I've told these guys from the get-go. Like, if we get up there and hunting's tough and we get a decent bull roll in the area and he's 200 and he won't move and he won't come in, won't commit. I've got no problem pulling the trigger on that rifle.
Really? Okay.
I'm bound and determined. I'd like to kill one with a bow, but that won't. I'm not going to end my hunt on. I didn't pull the trigger on a rifle because I wanted to so bad with a bow that I came home empty-handed.
Yeah, I have a lot of money.
I'm willing to pull out the longbow for that one.
I have a question. Are you guys going to like? Every day go out your separate ways, or are you going to be in a group together?
Yeah, we're going to kind of get a feel for it when we get up there. I mean, if I think it's going to be in our favor to scout the area fast, like the first couple days, and like split a group of two up and go one way and another guy go the other way and just get a feel for like who's in the area. And then maybe like our buddies went in a group of three and they would put a caller in the middle and then shooters on the outside. And the guy in the middle had a weapon too, but... That way, if the bull is kind of coming in and hanging up, you've got guys on either side of you. You might get that opportunity. So we might hunt in a group of three, or we might break up and hunt a group of two and a single and just kind of rotate between ourselves.
And on top of that, I'm planning to take my camera gear up there. I mean, we'd love to get somebody to kill, and if, whoever that somebody is, then once you're killed out, you become cameraman, and you just dance back and forth between
the other
two. It'd be... the best if we can get one or two kills off the rip on camera, you know.
Well, get a couple right off the rip.
That's what I'm saying. If we could get one down by day three or four, we're going to be setting pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard to kill three animals in a 10-day hunt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just depends
because I've read on their page that they've had guys go back-to-back, just boom, boom, boom.
Well, our buddies went up to camp. They shot one on, like, day five, and then they killed two on, like, day nine.
Yep.
They killed two bulls at the same time.
But you got to think, like, when you kill one of them, it's probably the next day, whole day, you're...
Probably, you lose a day of hunting.
Right.
You're going to have 4 to 6 hours breaking that animal down.
And then to getting it back to camp, if you're a mile out, that could take a while.
Well, you think about it. I mean, if you shoot one at dusk, you've got 4 to 6 hours of work in the dark. Mm-hmm. So you're sitting there breaking them down.
I think Ray told me that they were quartering one out after dark, working on one, and there was tall brush, and it was raining, and they had headlights on. Like, that would be my biggest fear.
But you're going to be in that situation, though. There's no way you're not going to get rolled by a grizzly,
like, at any point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can't see nothing when it's raining and your headlights on and your tall brush.
I hate to break it to you, Ross, but I think I'd be expecting that situation, sir.
Yeah.
You kill one in the afternoon when animals move.
Good thing is, you're not going to be by yourself, so you're going to have buddies kind of watching out for you.
That does help.
All three of you are going to be working on that animal, but you'll have a guy that's kind of taking a break and looking around, you know. So you'll be aware of your surroundings.
Keep your guns hot, buddy. I'm going to get rolled, and you just make sure you get him shot. Dude,
my finger's going to be on that Glock.
You almost need, like, one guy is up for 20 minutes, and he's 10 yards from the kill site kind of watching, and then he gets in, and the other guy takes a 20-minute break, and he's 10 yards from the kill watching.
It's one thing that's going to be nice about having three guys versus a pair. There's going to be another set of hands there to help pack meat out, take care, break the animal down. It's going to make things a little easier.
And even in that situation, you can't get in a rush when you're quartering out. I mean, a cut, a finger slice, or whatever happens, you can't do that.
That's my biggest fear.
Even in the rain, in the dark, you're fearing a bear coming running up, like, just...
That could be the end of your hunt.
Take your time, and everything's got to be precision cuts.
Well, generally in Alaska, like, every action is going to have a consequence. I mean, you have to be super aware and extremely careful the entire time you're on the trip. You always have to think about the move that you're making.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the common denominator on all the books I've read, the people I've talked to, is, like, pay attention to every move that you make, because it's going to have an outcome in the end.
Little mistakes are like, fuck it, you step through the creek here in Illinois. Okay, you might be wet for a couple hours, but you get to go back home and change your boots.
And that's what Greg said. He's like, dude, I took a bath, I took a shower, you know, got in the water to clean up. He said, I could never warm up. I was there for 4 more days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to think about that. You chill yourself out, you might not warm back up.
Right.
True.
That's tough. That's scary, too.
That's why I'm not getting in the water.
So what's your expectations, Austin, as far as, like, what are you thinking? You get out there and...
Yeah, we're going to try to get a feel for the area. You know, the first 3 or 4 days, I think we'll have a pretty good idea on what our odds are. I'm not planning on picking up the rifle unless it's the second half of the hunt, unless I just see an absolute specimen that I don't really care if he comes home with me with a gun or a bow. But it's going to take a big bull to make that decision for me, so... I'd like to shoot a nice solid bull with the bow, you know, something around 50 inches or better. But I'm not going to be picky. Like, if I have a bull that comes in and works to the call and jacks me up and he's 45 inches, so be it, you know.
Right. Yeah.
But
I should, after this podcast, I should call my buddy Jim Burns. He's been up to Alaska a lot. He'd probably have a lot of good advice for you guys. He's killed a big Boone and Crockett moose. And I've told this story briefly. I've been wanting to have him on the podcast since we started the thing. I just need to get him down here. I grew up hunting with him. He got an abscess tooth in Alaska and was like, he woke up, the whole side of his face was swollen. They had to airlift him out.
Man.
Gee whiz.
So he almost died from infection.
God.
Isn't that crazy?
Talk about unfortunate timing. That's just horrible. Yeah.
So when we get done, I might see if I can give him a call here, and maybe he might have some really valuable pointers for you guys that you might not think about, you know.
Well, we're talking about goals and everything, and just to let everybody listening know, our buddies that went up there, this is a good area. Like, we're Western Alaska, we're flying on a Bethel on the western part of the state. They killed 3 bulls in a 10-day hunt, and the smallest one was 51. They killed a upper 50s, and then Ray's was a 64. They're big. I mean, you're in an area where if you want to go for a world-class bull, you're in the right place.
And they killed all 3 with rifles, and the third one, our buddy Ray, was so close on him with a bow, but last minute just decided, I'm not going to let this opportunity slip, and he
yeah.
What's came with a gun.
I don't even know on a
moose. It'll go off a score more than width. The width is just kind of a general
reference. Usually like the Yukon's like 50 inches.
Yeah, if you shoot a 50-inch bowl, like that's a pretty decent bowl. I mean, a 50-inch bowl is going to be a mountable bowl.
Is 70 Boone and Crockett?
70 is big. Well,
that's big.
They don't. Yeah, they'll go off a score. Like I said, it won't go off a width. Will get figured into score like a whitetail would. But
yeah, that's right.
If you're looking at a 70-inch bowl, you're probably looking at a Boone and Crockett bowl.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm just
70 inches.
The only experience I know is like my buddy Jim talking about him. I remember him saying like 70 inch. Well, his is big. The one he's got's huge.
Yeah. Anything over 60 is like that's shooting a 160, 70 plus whitetail. I mean, that's a big bull.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's a big animal.
Massive animal, man. Like we're talking about like the back strap's got to be as long as the studio table.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I know the rear quarter, the heavy part that you take a rear quarter off, it can weigh 170 pounds.
Yep.
Holy smoke.
That you put that in your backpack. And it has to be left on the bone. You cannot debone that meat.
Why?
It's not legal in Alaska. So it wastes meat. So you think about the amount of cuts you make on a cut of meat. It's that much more chance for air to get to it and everything else. The more cuts you make, the more waste you're going to have. So you quarter that animal, it's less waste when you bring it out.
Yep.
Holy shit.
So you got a 170-pound hunk of meat. Our buddy Cody's a big boy, so I'm dependent on him to take the 170s, and I'll take the fronts that are like 120. But if we have to, we can drag it out on that sled. But I mean, if you shoot an absolute specimen of a bull, you could have 150-plus pounds on your back and one chunk of meat.
Can I write you guys a checklist of pictures I want you to get if you kill one?
Yeah.
Because I want a picture of you guys holding a moose backstrap, like one of you guys is holding it up and being like, look at this fucking thing, you know?
I am God.
Can you imagine? It's got to be 30 pounds of meat.
I've seen like solid meat. Elk backstraps are enormous, so I can only imagine how much bigger a moose is going to be. I mean,
so
you're talking meals for days there.
Imagine one cut's a steak, giant steak.
Oh, yeah.
One slabs.
Yeah.
You're talking 600 to 800 pounds of clean meat coming out of a bull.
Jeez. We didn't talk about our pack frames that we got in. So I went with QU. I talked about QU earlier, but I went with their carbon fiber pack frame so that carrying this stuff out, it's very comfortable. You got the lower back padding and everything. I mean, you can fit it to you no matter how big you are or small you are. And it's very comfortable. I'm telling you, it'll fit everything. So
you've got a really nice pack.
Yeah, I mean it costs a lot.
170 pounds, it's a lot of weight.
But when you can get it cinched to your back like real tight, I mean you can just suck that thing.
That's up. A big thing when you pull everything tight to you.
Yeah. Well, the key is setting the meat up high, so you get those straps where you can pull it up and set it up on your shoulders more than pulling you down on your lower back.
Yeah,
that's the key to packing the meat out.
Well, and your shoulders too are more center of gravity, so that's going to help you out a shit ton.
Yep.
I better ask this question because it'll get brought up. You guys plan on filming?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to have GoPros rolling. I mean, time lapses, B-roll, airplane shit. I mean, all kinds of cool video. And then as far as the hunt goes, if we're going to have guys hunting together, we're going to have a camera. It's not going to be a requirement to get the kill on film, but it would be very cool to get it. If we can get it, we're going to get it.
I'm going to shoot the first spike bull I see, and then I'm just going to be cameraman the rest of the trip.
Spike bull. Do they have spike moose?
Sure, right? Know. They come out with 40
Shad's
inches.
Going from 6 to midnight right now. Spike moose.
Spike moose. Oh, I need it.
I need it in my life.
Planning. We talked about that. We talked about your gear expectations.
Did you guys talk about what knife set you're bringing?
I'm going to be running some Havilons with the disposable blades. Ross, you have a similar setup.
Outdoor Edge.
Yep. Then we have some actual folding knives. We have some one-piece knives. We're going to be knifed up. I think we're going to have two or three.
We're way over-knifed right now.
Yeah, but you want that, though, because, I mean, that's going to make your job way easier, you know.
And we got a badass first aid kit, so I don't give a shit. Bring every knife you got.
You
got
to have good game bags. You're bringing good quality game bags up with you. You get that meat. You bring two tarps, so you one for camp, one for processing. So when you shoot your bull, you have your big 8x10 tarp laid out. You lay the quarters on it. Then you get it in the game bags, goes in your pack frame, and then back to camp.
Well, we got some badass game bags for sure. I took all mine.
What brand are they, like, you know?
QU.
Oh, they are.
Ross is a brand whore.
They're like, Anyways.
That's all right.
Hey.
So they're like 24 wide by like 60 inches tall. the XLs are. So they're huge, and I put three of those, four of those together, and then I had some that were like 18 by 36.
So you got and a variety.
So I different sizes, but I think there's six or seven of them. And no shit, I put all of them in a vacuum sealer bag that I ran through my food processor. What's that called? Food vac.
Food vac, whatever. Yeah.
Anyways, I put those, and it literally is about a softball and a half size big.
And that's just a pro just tip for packing. Like, if you're going to go on a trip like this, you got a vac seal your stuff, condense it down, you know.
Socks, everything.
So I ran a lot of stuff through the vac sealer just to compress everything.
Get the air out of everything. That's a move.
Yep. And or roll your clothing.
Yep.
So roll that's it up and then tuck it in your boots, and you know, you can compress a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Doing it that way.
Yeah. I bought, for anyone wondering, I've talked about in the store, I bought new boots for Wyoming. I bought Crispy Colorados. They're expensive for me.
They look nice.
They look, I like them. I really do. I think they're really comfortable. I think they look sweet. And I was wearing like my athletic shorts, shooting the bow in the yard, and did like an Instagram story the other day. And some guys like, from the top, those look like roller skates.
They kind of do.
He's got a point.
I was like,
or like ski boots.
I was like, holy shit. They are kind of like ski boots. I like them. I think they're cool.
So we're going to be wearing a boot similar to that style coming into camp. Like, as my camp boot, that's going to be my camp boot. So I've got, they're actually Under Armour's, but they're cheapies. But I'm going to wear those with some gaiters in camp. And then, as far as hunting goes, I'll have my rubber knee boots and then those waders. So footwear is important up there, and we've never been up there. So I tried to bring three different sets of boots to try to kind of experiment and see what I want up there.
From what you guys said, it sounds like you're taking 3,000 pounds of shit with you.
The shit you know we mailed today, we've got, what were they, 35, 45 gallon Rubbermaid totes.
Yeah.
So we got one of those each.
Yours, Austin was 91. On same size totes all the way across the board, but Austin was 90.
95?
95. And then
Cody was 91. Cody was 90,
91.
Yep.
And then I was 81, but
I trimmed him down a little bit. So yeah, we've already got this, and this.
I had to have
he got two pairs of underwear.
And hold my hand to help me pack just because I had all this shit laid out. And I'm like, all right, what do I need? What I don't need? I haven't paid attention, read nothing. Like, I just, I'm way behind. So he's a team leader, so. Hey,
team captain.
Yeah. If you're the captain, you get over here and tell me what the Lord. Need.
See, that's what we'll talk about this in detail.
The Lord's my captain.
When we go to Wyoming, it's going to be me, Devin, and Clint. Well, Clint does the most backcountry stuff out of all of us.
So Clint's the team captain. So
he's going to make a pack list because we don't need to bring three of everything. We don't need three jet boils.
You know
what I mean? It's like, all right, Clint's got the jet boil. I'll bring a canister of fuel. Devin's got a canister of fuel. And I'll bring two, you know what I mean? Whatever.
Right.
That way it's not like, okay, well, and that's the thing. I'm like, what do we need for tents? Devin's got a solo tent. Clint's like, hey, I got a two person. It's going to be tight, but it's ultra light, and it won't be a thing to carry it. So I'm like, all right, well, we'll be warm snuggling up, I guess. So, and honestly, at that point,
nuts to butts, baby.
I'm not going to give a shit. I just want to get to bed and get to sleep and wake up and go hunting, you know? So
that's something else we could talk about. It's a sleeping system.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Ross, what'd you end up going with?
It was a sleeping pad from Farm King.
Nice.
That I bought.
Real nice.
It says it's self-inflating. Self-inflating? No, that's a lie.
You're fucked.
That's a no.
You're fucked.
Yeah, I gave that thing about 82 lungs and still didn't have it blew up. So,
did you still send it?
Yeah, I did. I got it blew up.
I bought this per Clint recommendation, the Big Agnes. It's green and it's really light and it packs down about the size of it packs down about this big. So
it looks like something you float on in a pool.
Yeah, it does. Softball and a half. Well, what it does, I have a Kafaru quilt and there's like bungees on it and it slides inside the quilt, I think.
Nice.
Nice.
I'll figure it out.
You think?
I'm an idiot.
Hey, you're not an idiot. You just
seen him
play it out as you go.
It was two sleeping pads. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here?
Mine's like that too. It's compact. It's like that big, and it was like $20 or $30 through Amazon. But it feels pretty comfortable. I got good reviews, so I'm gonna try that.
It looks good.
We're gonna have
like
the
95.
I laid on it. I mean,
yours
feels
probably
good.
A lot nicer. Than
mine weighs like nothing.
Yeah, this one's light. I mean, it's that big. It's small. But we're gonna have the cots. So it's like I told Ross, worst case scenario, I won't even use it. I'll just sleep on the cot. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
We're not taking pillows. So
it'd be all right. Use your jacket.
Yeah, we'll wad up a jacket.
That's our plan.
If you guys want to, I have one of those big Agnes pillows, and it's packed up. It's smaller than your fist.
Smaller than your fist, yeah.
And it is. I slept on it in Wyoming just to test it out. It's great.
No kidding.
It's comfy.
Huh. What?
Like it's, and it's shaped kind of like U shape, so it kind of fits your shoulder. So it's
you really know what? Nice. I think we're gonna go like on this trip.
$25.
We're not gonna have everything we wanted, but we're gonna make it, and then we can come back and tell you what we should have had or what we would have done. Oh, but yeah. Everybody's gonna have different opinions too.
Oh yeah, yeah,
depending on your sleep schedule and how you handle everything.
And I think the listeners want it too. I want some straight up like alone style recordings from this trip. Like I want you guys you guys all snuggling. We're so cold. Ross, it's so good to have your body warmth.
No, I'm going to be over there like weaving baskets in the corner and shit.
Man, you're going to
gather and berries.
I want like a reality show. Like it cuts to like you by yourself talking shit about the other two.
Like in the tent.
Fucking
like,
Ross has no idea what he's doing, fucking, dude. Like he's ruining the trip.
Loser.
I think he's cool because he got a beard.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of a sudden in the background, we can hear you.
He's all warm over there with his beard.
Yeah. He's all warm, cocky.
Using it like a pillow.
Piece of shit.
I want to snuggle him for warmth, but fuck that. I ain't doing that.
Yeah. I heard everything he said. You ever seen that on Harold and Kumar?
Oh, yeah.
Freak show when they're in the freaking tow truck. It's like, look at that boil. It's pulsating.
Oh my God.
He can hear you.
I heard everything he said.
So stupid. That's exciting. I'm excited for you guys. I'm proud of you guys for going to the extent of planning and actually doing it.
Taking the plunge.
And I think there's going to be, you're going to have, there's going to be a mixed reviews of listeners saying like, must be nice to buy a fucking $10,000, well, probably 12 grand when it's all said and done.
You got to have priorities. Like, instead of driving a $30,000 truck, drive a $15,000 truck and take that 15 grand and put it into a moose hunt, you know? Have your priorities.
I'm talking about a $2,000 truck.
That's a good one. Eric's the find the deals.
Yeah, dealing, bro.
Yeah, Eric's going to have a brand new truck here soon, just trading up.
Well, didn't have to pay for it.
It is easy. It's easy for people who don't. I mean, if you are a listener and you follow us, you know. But it's like that's all we do. You know what I mean? There's no.
And we've been planning this for 3 years. I mean, in 3 years' time, if you can't set aside a little money for this,
yeah. But even then, if you need 5 years, do 5 years.
Hey, whatever.
Yeah. If you need 10, hell.
Yeah, if you need 10 years, honestly, that's probably what I'd be on that 10-year plan. So I need to
still don't have the money saved up for this, but I'm going.
My biggest thing was like age. So I'm still young. You know, I'm in my 30s. I'm 38.
That's a good point, man.
You go on a hunt like this, physical condition is everything. Like, you're not going to... You see older guys doing this, but they're in good shape. Like, you want to put 170 pounds on your back and walk through the marsh for a mile and a half when you're 60 years old?
Nope.
I don't think I'm going to want to.
No.
Boys, we need to go in our 30s yet. Us three.
Hey, I need to go on a diet. That's what I need.
You get your diet when you're up there.
What that gut do, baby?
That you who started saying that? What that gut do, baby?
From...
Fighter and the Kid.
Yeah.
It is. I missed that episode. What that gut do, baby?
Hey,
what's up?
Well, yeah. Speaking of that, I'm trying to go into this hunt a little heavy.
Yeah, well, Kurt and I both got on the same train there back in the day.
We did the Kyle Weider plan.
Kyle Weider plan a couple months ago.
I was killing it. Then my life fell apart, and then I said, fuck it.
Yep. Yeah.
And then
I got to the finish line and did the same thing. I was like, fuck it.
I was going to do it before my Wyoming hunt, but I found like that's a like strip your weight fast type diet.
Yep.
And I felt like really weak. Like when it was all said and done, like it just wasn't something I want to go and have to carry 200-pound moose quarters. So I was going to do it basically starting at the time of this recording, like last week, starting another cycle. But I didn't want to be on the mountain like drained of energy. Like I want to have something, you know.
That's so the thing, man.
I've been kind of riding my bike around and doing that thing. So I'm going to just probably ramp that up here up until I go and being reasonable about it without like killing myself. That way I'm just like fairly prepared.
Yeah. Yep.
Let's be honest. I'm never going to be a Trey Heiner. So you just get what you get, you know?
Well, a hunt like this, it's good to prepare for it physically. Like I work out every now and then, but with this hunt, I've been trying to make it a more regular thing. So free weights. I've got 100 pounds on my back now every other day. I'm walking a mile every other day with 100 pounds on my back, just trying to get used to that kind of weight, you know.
Woof, man.
It's hurting my knees, so I don't really want to go heavier and just blow my knee out 4 weeks before I go up there. So
don't do that.
I'm just gonna keep it at 100, and then when I got a buck up and put 150 on there, hopefully I'll be able to handle that.
Dude, I'm kind of that point. Like, I don't want to be sore or injured, so I'm starting to get like very careful before I go, because we're going about the same time.
Yep.
I had my Scent Crusher roller bag on the ground the other day in like what I call my fireplace room, and I was setting up my loophole to look out. I was trying to set my binos on like on a tripod so I could look out the back window at deer in the field, and I was walking up and I was looking out the window, and I kicked that, you know, on the roller bag there's that hard edge. I kicked it and cracked my fucking big toenail like 3/4 of the way down, and I was like, fuck, like this. If this doesn't, I had enough time, like, but this could be a problem.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if I'm hiking, like, that can be a major problem. So I'm like freaking out. Luckily, it wasn't as bad, but I split her about halfway down, actually, and it fell out, and I'm like, oh, shit. Because the last thing I want is like an ingrown nail
right,
or something like that. But you know what I mean? When you're just walking, you're not paying attention, you just smack your foot on something.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Something like that could, I mean, for you guys especially.
Dude, I guarantee you a week before this hunt, I'm parking it. Like, I'm being careful a week before this.
You'll see my fat ass on the couch.
You know what I think you guys should do? Because you're going to do a lot of traveling. Traveling like dehydrates you. I would like hydrate the fuck out of yourselves on the way there. Like, it sucked to have to piss on a plane, but I would just be full of water.
Yeah, we're going to have plenty of time to piss. What is it, like an 8-hour flight up there from Chicago to Anchorage?
And then our layover.
It's not direct, is it?
No, we go Chicago to Anchorage, and then we got like a 5-hour layover.
No,
and then
Chicago to Washington, and then Anchorage.
No, it goes Chicago to Anchorage.
Okay.
Yep. We go Chicago to Anchorage. And
he's
then
the captain, Ross.
I'm pretty. Yeah, right. I'm 90% sure because that was an option, but we didn't end up going with that.
That was the option that I seen, so I just settled on that. But we've evidently moved on.
You guys changed.
We're going.
That's your flight.
That's my flight.
Yeah, Ross is taking that one. Cody and I are going Chicago to Anchorage.
See you in 3 days,
and then a 5-hour layover, and then Anchorage to Bethel. And then we stage in Bethel, and then the next day is where we take the float plane from Bethel into the bush.
Man, that's crazy.
I'm excited. Well, we have a layover. I've heard about a layover.
Yeah, and coming back, it's even worse. It's like 8 or 9 hours.
Hey, we did it.
Hey, Eric and I did it on the way up from Wyoming.
In Texas.
You just drink and get some food.
Honestly.
Yeah, I get in trouble on layovers.
One of my biggest fears right now is all this COVID shit coming back around, so I'm worried about them shutting down.
Oh, shit. Like, I did not think about that.
Dude.
Can you imagine?
That's real.
Heard these horror stories. You get clear away from home, and then they just shut the fucker down, and all of a sudden we're...
You drive back.
Oh, I'll guarantee you, I'll ride a bicycle back, whatever it takes.
Or we don't even get to go up. Like,
yeah,
I don't care if we get up there and it gets shut down. I just want to get up there.
And well, then kill a moose.
Rent a Suburban and load all the meat back and just enjoy it for what it is. I mean, at that point, if that's what happens, it's...
I'll ride a mountain bike and a fucking radio flyer. I don't care.
Yeah. Well, at that point, you do what you got to do.
Yeah.
That's why I'm driving to Wyoming. I'm not fucking around with nothing.
Jump in that guy with the reefer unit and give him...
Hitchhike your way back.
I'm leaving almost 3 days before season starts because I'm going to drive like 15 hours, stay at either Travis from Buckstorm or Jeremy's place in South Dakota, get up and drive the remaining like 5 or 6 hours, get there, sleep in town somewhere in Wyoming. The following morning, head into camp, and then we're going to head in from there. So then we're going to camp in the mountains and wake up September 1 and go hunting.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
So
exciting. Can't believe it, man. It's almost here.
It's scary. Crazy.
3 years waiting.
It's been almost 3 years. We're 5 weeks away.
Yep.
Well, I wish you guys the best of luck.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
good luck.
Appreciate it, boys. It's going to be fun.
We'll be rooting for you.
We can't wait to hear the stories.
Yep. Just the experience
in
itself.
Hopefully we're back to tell you about them.
Yeah. You guys will be fine.
Hopefully at least one of you are.
Just the whole...
Yeah, give one story. It'd be cool.
I like one story at least.
Yeah.
The anticipation of the hunt, going up there and just going through with this, like getting on a float plane, going into that country and just seeing it and calling for moose. I mean... It's going to be worth the money just to go up there and do that, let alone if we actually get a fling and arrow at something.
Can I ask you guys to do one thing before we close this podcast out? I'd really like you guys to give us your best moose call on air.
No shit.
you want to go cow and I'll go bull, or what do you want to do? We'll do it at the same time.
You both do cow and bull. I want to hear you separately.
That's the same thing I was getting ready to do.
Pretty good. I mean,
you go, you do the bull.
Yeah.
Here, can I try my bowl? And I haven't
studied it at all. Yours.
I'm just going to wing it here. I'm just singing AC/DC. You guys are shit.
Back in black.
Kohl's t-shirt. I always feel like Kohl's are always AC/DC t-shirts.
Oh, yeah. What kind of shit?
I don't know what I'm doing.
That's it. I mean, a little louder.
I like it.
I'm in a mic. I didn't want to go too aggressive.
I don't even know how to do it either.
Yours is better. I like that.
Yeah.
You got the...
you're covering the hands there.
That's good. Okay, yeah, you guys been practicing.
Got to open the jaw.
like
lower your relax the throat.
Lower your tongue, relax the throat. Relax
the throat. We all became moose calling experts. We're like, yeah, that's pretty good.
You know what?
Yeah, if you're definitely calling
sounds
a bull
just
that.
Like a moose that I heard.
Yeah, dude, just a moose. That's exactly.
You'll definitely call a bull in that way.
The good thing about moose calling, you don't have to sound good, but if you don't like it, you can just rake shit on trees and it's going to call them in. Yeah, so.
Fuck shit up.
Yeah. See all them sticks?
I don't want to spend too much time on calls. Those guys welding right now are just like, fuck this.
Yeah.
I can't get away from it.
Jeremy's buddies are like, see? See? This is what I'm talking about.
This guy sucks.
Killing 160s, calling him 200. What a fag.
I've heard better calling at Walmart.
Yeah. In the tampon section. It's tough out here.
It's rough.
Jesus Christ.
It's going on.
Jesus Christ.
You said it, not me, man.
Take it easy, pal.
I think it's time to close her out on that. I appreciate you guys. Good luck to you.
Good luck, boys.
Thanks, guys.
Everybody's rooting for you.
Kill it.
Virtual.
Virtual.
All right. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.